Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As a guide and hunter, I've spent thousands of days in the field. This show is about translating my hard-won experiences into tips and tactics that'll get you closer to your ultimate goal, success in the field. I'm Remy Warren. This is Cutting the Distance. Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to the Cutting the Distance Christmas special. You know, for me, Christmas really has always been just a special time to spend with friends and family, a special time that I remember a lot of the hunts around this time because we get together, we get to go out, we share meals, and most of that's wild game meals. Hunting and family and food and Christmas all kind of combine for me this time of year. Even in this weird year, I think Christmas can always kind of feels like a special time. Some people have experienced some really hard times this year, and then there's been some good times mixed in. So, you know, I think that maybe I thought it might be kind of fun to do this Christmas special podcast, share a couple cool tips on maybe some holiday hunting, some ways you can cook up some game, and then give some stuff away as well. So there's that. But before we do that, I think I'm going to just share a Christmas story from Christmas Eve 2003 in the most Christmassy way I know how. Cue magical walking music. "'Twas the day before Christmas, out in the marsh. Not a duck was flying, the game seemed sparse. The decoys were set around the water in pairs, with a hole in the middle, hoping the birds would land there. I was tucked in the tules, sitting on my stool, with thoughts of greenhead and sprig landing in this small pool. I and my waiters, my gun camo clad, I was hunting for the duck feast we always had. When through the air some teal wings hissed, I threw up my gun, shot three times, and missed. While disappointed there was no splash, I sat back down and let the time slowly pass. The skies were all empty, not a duck in sight. I got off my stool to call it a night. I packed up the decoys in the cold winter air. It looked like Christmas dinner. I would have nothing to share. As I walked toward the swim hole on the way to the truck, I heard the quack of a single lone duck. And what to my wondrous eyes did appear? A hen mallard jumping out of the pond right here. I clicked off the safety and threw up the stock. I swung the bead and touched a round off. The flight of the bird immediately stalled. In a puff of feathers, it fell in a ball. I quickly ran over to find my game. A jump shot hen was what I had claimed. While it was a lot shy of a Christmas feast, lacking the meat of a brace of geese, I have to admit I was glad for the luck. I avoided being skunk when I hit this duck. Its feathers were brown, its bill fairly bleak. There was no band nestled on its feet. But that didn't matter to me one bit. I had some meat and was proud of it. When I got back home, I spoke not a word. I went out back and plucked my bird. I heated the oven for a fine Christmas roast. The rest of the family wanted to toast. I had to explain as I got into sight, "It'll be a Merry Christmas for all, but only one duck for dinner tonight." From my hunting field notes, December 24th, 2003, said Corey, ducks. Duck shot, one head mallard, I jumped off the swim hole. I remember that Christmas fairly well. I was a senior in high school, and my family had spent Christmas, actually that Christmas morning, in a wall tent on the river in Montana. It was down the way from where my grandpa lived. We had this awesome fireplace roaring in there, and we actually made a nice wood mantle on the back of the wall tent by the stove where we hung our stockings. We decked it out, included a Christmas tree and lights. It was a pretty magical tent on the river there. Honestly, when I think back about it, it's one of the most memorable Christmas mornings I think I've had. We woke up early and we celebrated. We exchanged gifts together in the tent. It was dark outside still. The tent was all lit up and we just listened to the river and Christmas music and just enjoyed each other's company. And honestly, I don't remember any of the gifts exchanged, but I do remember how much fun I had with my brothers and parents spending Christmas together, hanging out in the wall tent. And it was just one definite Christmas to remember. One thing that I definitely take from it was the fact that I got to spend the time with my family. And that's all that when it comes time, this time of year, those are the things that I remember. Those are the things that I cherish. Speaking of family, you know, this time of year, maybe you've got a few extra days off. You got a little bit of time. I think it's a great time to take friends, to take family, people that hunt and people that don't hunt, out in the field with you. I know that some of my favorite memories are spent on small game trips, some hunts around this time of year when people have got time off. And, you know, my brothers would go, my dad would go, even my mom would come. She wouldn't hunt, but she would just enjoy the experience of going out, doing something that's not a full intensive, have to pack in 20 miles, have to pre-plan, have to have all these tags, but just something that you can go out and do. It's fun, you know, you make it fun for the people around you. That time of like pack the Yeti Rambler full of hot chocolate, hit the trail, head out, and enjoy the time with those close to you, whether they hunt or not. Maybe you'll create a new hunter or just somebody that enjoys getting out and going with you. So I decided to just break down my five top hunts I think you should try between Christmas and New Year. The first is going to be ducks. Of course, my story was a duck hunt for me. I don't know, it just duck hunting around Christmas time is something that I always do. But also, I love roast duck around the holidays. So Christmas and New Year's, it's something that we generally eat. And it's also something, it's one of those hunts where duck hunting tends to be a more successful hunt than some other hunts. Now, while it can be quite gear intensive, you got to get the decoys. You might need a boat. You might need all this stuff. Not all duck hunting has to be that intensive. If you aren't into it or you're thinking about going out trying, I know there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast and maybe don't hunt a lot or just getting into hunting. There's actually a lot of duck hunting to be had that isn't as gear intensive, and it's more jump shooting, pass shooting, picking spots. So I would suggest looking for ditches, sloughs, rivers, marshes. The specialized gear that you're going to need for this hunt would be a pair of waders, which for the longest time I used my fishing waders. I used just wader shoes over the top. I wore clothes underneath them. And then I actually threw a pair of camouflaged like army surplus pants over the top of it. I wore my tennis shoes underneath my like neoprene fishing waders and then just threw a pair of army surplus camo pants over the top. Yeah, you might look a little janky, but hey, you're getting out, you're shooting some meat, you're having a good time. you need a shotgun with a plug in it, some steel shot, obviously all the necessary duck stamps and licenses. But finding those sloughs, those river bottoms, those ditches, things where you can walk up and down, maybe see some birds, use your binoculars, spot and stalk them. It's a great way to get into duck hunting, to shoot some meat, to start learning and identifying birds. One thing about duck hunting is understanding how to identify birds that are in flight, because there's certain birds you can shoot, certain ones you can't. If you're getting into it, if you're new to it, it's a great way to kind of get your bird identification down before they're cruising by in the marsh. Watch them, stalk them, look at them, understand, bring a bird guide if you have to understand what birds are what. Understand the way that they fly, when they fly, look at them through your binoculars while they're flying, sneak in, shoot a few, and bring some home. One of my favorite ways to cook duck is to roast them. So I generally turn the oven on 400 degrees, a little bit of salt and pepper on top, and then I put them in a roasting pan. Sometimes I'll even go like 450 or higher. What you want, the key to cooking good duck is just medium rare. You want if you poke it with a fork, it's done when the juices start coming out at like that rosy pink color. You don't want to overdo it. If you got a thermometer, I try to keep it right around 120 is when what I normally roast the duck to. I love to pluck my ducks, so I'll pluck them and then gut them and cook them whole. But if you breast them, sometimes you can pluck the breast and then breast it out. That's where you just got to take the breast portion away from the rest of the body. Or if you like to skin them, that's fine too. Skin it out and then roast the breasts. What I do, if I do it that way, just the breast or even the whole duck, I'll actually set it on top of an orange slice in the roasting pan. I salt and pepper the bird, maybe a little bit of other herbs. And then if I've got it whole, I actually stuff it sometimes I generally use rosemary, thyme, and apple, stuff it. Maybe a little bit of bacon to add some fat back in. But they're already pretty fatty, most ducks. And then I roast it. And it doesn't take very long, maybe 20 minutes, something like that. Keep checking it. And then what I do when I'm done is I turn the oven on broil to crisp up the skin. And then I coat the tops with orange marmalade and then like underneath the broiler and get that kind of glazed over, make kind of a glaze with it. And that's, I love that sweet, savory kind of mix of duck. And that's probably my traditional go-to Christmas dinner or New Year's dinner is some kind of roast duck in that fashion. So that's a really good hunt to do. Maybe, you know, Christmas Day, I actually do a lot of duck hunting on Christmas Day, but get out if you got a few days off between now and New Year's or on New Year's. That's a great hunt. It's one that you can kind of take some people with. It's fun. I kind of find duck hunting one of those hunts where you generally go out and get something. If you're just starting out hunting, if you're going to invest in one kind of hunting, duck hunting is a good one to invest in because it generally yields a lot of success for the time spent. Now, there are definitely slow days, days where you come home with that one hen mallard or no hen mallards. There's been quite a few days where I haven't skunked. But as you start to get into it and kind of figure it out, you can find a lot of success hunting it.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bowl staying. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. This episode is brought to you in part by O'Reilly Auto Parts, who are in the business of keeping your car on the road and also keeping you happy. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I use the O'Reilly by me. It's right in downtown where I live. and the team there is super knowledgeable. When you got questions, they're happy to help you out. It's a great store to go into. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And don't ignore your check engine light. Ask for O'Reilly VeriScan today, a free diagnostic service exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Need your windshield wipers replaced? Brake light fixed? Quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop to get some help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in the store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'Reilly Auto, O-R-E-I-L-L-Y, OReillyAuto.com/meat eater.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
The next one, I would say, is great with family, with people that are just getting into hunting, rabbit hunting. It's because it's pretty easy, and it's pretty easy to be successful. It doesn't take a lot of gear investment. You can use small caliber rifles, small caliber shotguns, 410 shotgun. I know as a kid, it was fun to go out with 22 or 410, hunt rabbits. One other thing is it's a great for new hunters, people that are just getting into it, because you can kind of translate a few of the big game tactics. Like if you've got snow on the ground, winter time's a great time to chase rabbits. Snow on the ground, you can find the tracks. I just look for like brushy areas. Rabbits love that kind of thick, brushy stuff. If you've got snow, you just cruise around, look for tracks, walk around, walk up and down creek bottoms and other areas where they tend to be. If you live in more of an agricultural type area, check that the brush lines and other things, they tend to hide out in there. If you've got snow, you'll see their tracks. It's like two little tracks followed by bigger tracks in the back. It's their front legs planting and their back legs coming up. Kind of looks almost like a deer track in some ways, but you'll see those trails where the rabbits go move a lot and then just kind of work that brush. Sometimes you can have two people. It's always nice to have a couple people actually, because you can kind of work the brush, create a line, work it and get the rabbits to run out and get some shots. I would say that my favorite way to prepare rabbit, especially around the holidays, I do two different things. So the back straps of the rabbit, I generally will cut out, fry like chicken strips. That's pretty good. Maybe pound it flat, just bread it like chicken strips. But one thing that my brother actually does a lot, if we get snowshoe hares, or you know, if you're new into hunting and you live out west, or you're trying to get someone into hunting, go out, shoot a couple jackrabbits. You might think it's like they're plentiful. A lot of people see them as trash rabbits. I don't know. I've cooked up plenty of jackrabbits and they taste great. And we generally do it in a rabbit stew, slow cooked, braise it first, brown it in a pan, and then put it in with some, you know, like brown gravy mix or some beef stock, chicken stock, whatever you want. Make a nice stew with some potatoes, some carrots, some celery, some herbs. That's a great way to have rabbit, especially on a winter time. It's like a really warm home cooked meal feel. The next hunt I would suggest, and this one takes a little more doing, but is really, I would say, more bang for your buck, is there's a lot of areas out west across the country anywhere that have late season doe hunts. They do the doe hunts after the buck season, generally as a management tool to reduce deer populations. Picking up these doe tags is an incredible hunt. It's a great way to hone your skills. It's also great if you're getting into archery. I always suggest people, it's like, hey, I want to get into archery. What should I hunt first? Whitetail does. They give you all the experience. It can be difficult, but a lot of opportunity. So I think it's kind of a perfect mix of There's a lot of them out there. You don't have to single it out and find one that's legal. It just has to be a doe. But they also are very wary. They can be hard to get close to. I love to spot and stalk them. There's a lot of places that I hunt them where I can get a couple, like a, I think I can get up to 4 or 5 doe tags. And I choose to like spot and stalk them. There's public land places you can do it. And there's a lot of people that'll give you permission to hunt does, because if they are trying to manage numbers, some places, you know, you need to, they need to shoot a lot of does, and they might not have a lot of people that want to. So it's one of those things too. You can pull out your Onyx, maybe talk to some people, bring out your family. That's always a good way to get permission sometimes, and just don't disturb people during their holiday. But I think a doe hunt's a great way to kind of get some hunting in this time of year. It's fun, and it's also a great way to kind of get into maybe another form of hunting. I like to take out I've got a muzzleloader, or just, you know, a new rifle, whatever. It's a really fun hunt. So I highly suggest that. One of my favorite Christmas recipes is to take the loin, like the back strap, and I do a stuffed loin. So I actually cut, I'll take like a fillet knife, I'll cut it into a large chunk, large section, maybe like a 6 to 8 inch section of a back strap. I'll either open it up, that's generally the easiest way, or you can just kind of stick your knife in there and cut it. But I generally make like a, how would I describe it? If you're looking at the round of it, you make like a S cut, where you kind of cut around, or maybe more like a top and then down and then back. So what you're doing is you're filleting it out so that whole back strap can lay out bigger, because you're going to stuff it and then wrap it back up to its original shape. And what I stuff it with, I generally like to make like, you make it easy on yourself, get like whatever, people freak out about this, but like some stovetop stuffing. I love it. And super easy. And then I throw in some dried cranberries with it. And then what I'll do is I'll roll that loin back up, and then I make a bacon lattice and I wrap it with that. Then I tie the whole thing up with twine, and I'll either smoke it or cook it in the oven or on the barbecue. Just got to be careful. If you cook it on the oven or the barbecue, you don't want it to like flame up. So the best way is in the smoker. And then I will, I'll finish it by browning the bacon after smoking it. You can also not add the bacon. It's up to you. I mean, sometimes it's holiday season, get decadent, throw some bacon on it, whatever. I try not to put bacon on everything, but why not? The next one I would suggest would be a quail hunt. Quail are pretty widely distributed. They are fairly easy to find. It's like, find some good brushy spots, some thicker stuff. You can hear them calling. They make like a, I call it the Chiquita sound, the Chiquita. That was terrible. I can't whistle right now. My mouth's too dry from podcasting. But quail's a great hunt. Like, can be high action, high volume, especially for people just getting into it, taking some people out. Just don't shoot each other in the face. Dick Cheney. Make sure you know where everyone's at. Make it fun. Make it enjoyable. It's not super physical most of the time. If you're around agricultural areas, same kind of deal as the rabbits. And actually, you can find quail and rabbits in very similar places, especially out west. So that's one to think about. Grilled quail is pretty hard to beat. I skin them out, spatchcock them, and then you can marinate them. Sometimes I'll marinate them actually in like a little bit of olive oil or whatever, you know. It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but I generally just grill them as is. They're pretty hard to beat. Probably one of the best game birds out there. And then the last one I would say, this is one that we do as kind of a New Year's tradition, but a pheasant hunt. This can be really fun because, you know, if you can find some fields, get some permission to hunt pheasants, find somewhere, like there's a lot of walk-in areas where the state actually provides land for hunters, like leases land from private individuals, Access Yes programs, some places call it block management, some places, all different kinds of programs. Look on your Onyx, look on whatever research areas where there's these kind of places where you can hunt some of this, you know, CRP type land. It can be really, really fun. One thing that we do as a tradition is we kind of go out, we do like a family kind of pheasant hunt. All the friends come out, they bring their wives, and even people like people that maybe don't hunt or aren't really that interested in hunting, we have them get their hunting licenses, hunter safety, whatever. And this is kind of a time where we make it about getting everybody else to try to get something. The nice thing about pheasants is they they generally jump pretty close. It's a larger target. They're a beautiful bird. It's a lot of fun and can be a really fun time. Make it an event. We bring out the hot chocolate and the barbecues and just have a great time. And then I think one of my favorite recipes is just doing kind of a beer can chicken style with a pheasant later on. Or we take the breasts, we breast them out, use a mallet to pound them flat and make like chicken parm, like pheasant parm, mixing in some breadcrumbs, some Parmesan, some whipping up some eggs. So you dredge it in the breadcrumbs and then you in the egg breadcrumb, do it about twice, stick it in the oven about, I don't even know, maybe like 375. Don't go too long. Cook it like you would chicken. And then top it with some provolone's pretty good, and some pasta sauce or whatever your favorite pasta sauce is. That's a really good way to eat it. You can also do kind of the same thing and then fry it in oil. That's a good way to do it as well, in olive oil. So I say between those things, you should find yourself something, some way to get out there, get some friends out there, get some family out there, and enjoy the outdoors, enjoy some hunting, and enjoy some awesome Christmas meals. Now, it wouldn't be a Christmas special without some kind of giveaway. I just want to say as like a thanks for listening. I really appreciate you all tuning in. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are new to listeners, but also the tried and true. I just want to say Merry Christmas to you and your families. And I just thank you very much for the support over the last year. I've really enjoyed doing this podcast, mostly because of you guys. I would say if I'm being 100% honest, I don't know if I necessarily enjoy sitting down and talking in the middle of the night after a long day hunting. But what I do really enjoy is the feedback that I get from you guys, the amazing comments that you've left on wherever you listen, you know, the sharing it and just sharing your experiences with me. That to me makes it worth it. And I really enjoy that aspect of it. That's why I do it. That's what I love about it. And so I think it's really cool that we've created an awesome community of people that are tried and true hardcore hunters all the way to the people just getting into it. So I thank you guys for listening. I thank you for your continued support. Last year, I tried to figure out ways to do the giveaway because, you know, I kind of have to do it. I'll do it in combination with social media. So if you don't have those things, I apologize. It just makes it easier for me to figure out ways to get some stuff given away. So I've got some, I did this last year as well, and I thought it worked really well. And what I don't want to do, because sometimes if I do just a giveaway on like Instagram, there's so many people that the odds are just terrible. So I want it to be like, if you put out a little effort, you listen to the podcast, then your odds will be a lot better. So the first giveaway, I've got some awesome Yeti mugs for some people, some different Ramblers. So I've got half a dozen of those, maybe a dozen of those. So what we're going to do, I'm going to make a post, like a post about the podcast. And then as the secret to just the people that listen, in the comments, put some kind of mug emoji, whether it's the beer mug, whether it's the some form of cup emoji. I'm sure you can figure that out. I looked, there was like quite a few different ones. So you put some form of cup emoji, and then I will randomly select the winners out of those people that do that. So that should help your odds. There won't be like thousands of people. There'll just be the people that listen and the people that take the time to do it. And that's cool. Be rewarded for that. So that's one of the ways, one of the secret podcast prizes. The next, I did this one last year with a different product, and the odds were super good. So the next one, I've got a custom Gerber knife. So you can actually go on, design whatever you want on the knife, add, you choose exactly what knife you want, like put your name on it, put images on it, just like crazy cool stuff. So this one, what I did, and I kind of like this because it kind of narrowed the amount of people and what they did. But so go on my Instagram page, anywhere that you see a knife, just comment, like it could be an old post, it could be a new post, it doesn't matter. Just scroll through a few of the pictures. If you see a knife or whatever in the thing, in the post, just say something about the podcast. I'll figure it out. I think there's like dates on there, so I can kind of figure out. Then I'm going to randomly... I know which images have stuff, so I'm going to randomly pick the image, and then the people that have commented on the image, I will randomly pick the person on that. The person that won last year, the image that actually I got randomly drawn, there was like six comments on it. So it was like a one, or no, it was actually three. It was like a 1 in 3 chance of winning the prize last year. So that was pretty sweet. You know, well, there was a lot on some photos, but this, I don't, you don't have to go like super deep, you know, just whatever, just the last, you know, 20 photos or whatever. But most people just did it on the one, and a couple people listened and did it on the other ones, and they did it on all the ones they saw, and that person won. So that's just something. Give that if you want to enter that. And then I did this last year as well. I thought it was kind of fun. Just kind of like a photo contest. I've got a pair of Diamondback 10x42 HDs, Vortex binoculars. So if you want to try to win those, just if you got an image, take a picture, or you have an image that you've already done, tag me in it at Remy Warren, and then add the hashtag glassing forward, because I'll search that hashtag, and then it'll just be kind of a photo contest of sorts under that theme, glassing forward. Last year's winner, I think his daughter was just like out there looking. It was kind of a cool, like he had a cool concept of it. That was the winner. I actually may just randomize them, but I'll take the maybe my top 10 favorite photos, and then I'll just do a random thing off of that. So that's how you can win your Christmas swag. I will close all that. Let's say we'll give it 5 days from today, so before New Year's. But actually, let's just close it. Let's just close it by a week. Before the next podcast comes out, which is New Year's Eve. So best of luck to you all. And actually, you know, some of the mugs I'm going to do today. So if anybody listens, those people will be rewarded. If you're listening to this on Christmas Eve, you're hardcore. If you give me that cup thing, I'll give a couple of those away, those Ramblers away that way. It's my own giveaway. It's just loose. It's just like, that's the way I like to do it. So until then, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Next week, and before I forget, next week, I'm going to do some, just because it's New Year's and we got New Year's Eve coming up, just some stuff to think about getting into next year, like an action plan to be more successful. Some fitness stuff, some shooting stuff, some hunt planning stuff. We'll get all that dialed in. So going into the next year, you can make your plan, you can be set, and you're going to be ready for success. All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. And to you all, a good night.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.